The equivalent of page 15 and Simon Dalid in Or Chaim, Dinei Netilas Yadayim. Okay then, so this is a pretty long Simon. We'll see how much of it we can do. Certainly we won't finish it today, but Yirchatz Yadav. Okay, now we're talking about what we call in Yiddish Negelwasser. But it's the first time when he woke up that he's washing his hands. And the Mechaber says, V'yavarech al netilas yodayim. So the Mishnah Berurah tells us that there are two different explanations and reasons why we're washing our hands. The Rosh writes, because yodayim askanio sein. That means during the course of the night, his hands move around and he touches parts of his body that are normally covered. And they're sweaty and they're mitunafim. And therefore his hands are not clean. So he's going to ultimately recite Kriyat Shema, he's going to daven, he has to clean his hands. And because we know that he needs to clean his hands in this case, Chazal established a bracha al netilas yadayim. Now the obvious question that we have to ask ourselves is, what happens during the course of the day? Let's say in the middle of the day, before mincha time, I touch, you know, makom mitunaf, my hands get filled with filth. And now I wash my hands for mincha. Would I make a bracha on netilas yadayim? Why is it that there's only one bracha on netilas yadayim for tinuf, and that's in the morning? And the Rashba was so bothered by this question that he came with a whole nother pshat as to why we wash our hands in the morning. Once again, if it's only because of tinuf, because of filth on our hands, then simply wash your hands. You know, get yourself a bar of soap, or now they have these liquid soaps, and wash your hands. But to make a bracha on that, you know, what? Every time your hands are dirty and you want to read Kriyat Shema, you want to recite Tefillah, you have to wash your hands with a bracha on the Netilas Yadayim. Very difficult rush. So the Rashba writes, no, it's a whole different story. Shebeshachar, it has to do with waking up in the morning and starting the day. And it's only when you start the day. It has nothing to do with what happens during the course of the day. Because when a person wakes up from sleep, Anu Nasim Kibiria Chadosha. While we're asleep, we terminate one life. And when we wake up, we start a new life. We're a Biria Chadosha. Tichsiv, the Torah says, Chadoshim lebekarim rabba emunasecha. I'm not sure, but I think this might be a pasuk in Tehillim. I'm not sure. I could look it up later on. So it says, Chadoshim lebekarim. We are new with daybreak. And God, you have faith in us. And that's why you allow us to continue to exist, and you give us a new life every day. So when we're asleep, it's like Echad Mishishim Shebemisa, which we're possibly partially dead. Now we're reviving. We're waking up from the dead. Okay, that's wonderful. But what does it have to do with Netilas Yadayim? So he says the following: Tzrichim Anu Lahodo Slo Yisbarach Shebara Anu Lichvodo Lesharso Levarach Bishmo. So I'm not exactly sure why, I can't answer this question, but for some reason the Mishnah Berurah quotes only a small fraction of what the Rashba says. I saw the Rashba inside, in the original Tshuva, and the Rashba adds a whole other element. Maybe it's coming later on. Let me hold my tongue. He says the following. He says, Al Dover Zeh Tiknu. They made a special enactment, Bishachar, in the morning, that number one, he has to wash his hands, and number two, he has to recite all the brachas that we recite on a daily basis, which we call Birchas HaShachar. V'lachein gam dover zeh tiktum shachar li'oh. This is what you want to underline. Lihiskadesh b'kdushoso. The act of washing one's hands has nothing to do with cleanliness. It's an act of kiddush. You know, we're about to face Hashem, face the day as a servant of Hashem, and we need kiddush, we need to sanctify ourselves. And how do we do so? How do you sanctify yourself? Litol yadenu min akli. How do we know that taking a vessel filling it up with water and pouring it on our hands is an act of kiddush. Kikoen shemakadish yodov min akiyar. Right, they had a kiyar. I forget what it's called in English, a laver or something like that. And that's what they had in the Beis Hamikdash. The water was in the kiyar. The kiyar was a clay migdash, and it sanctified the water within. And he would sanctify his hands from the sanctified water inside the kiyar. That's what the Kohen had to do on a daily basis before he started his avodah. So you can't serve Hashem without kiddush, without washing your hands. And washing your hands in a kli. Now, when we wash our hands, if it's a matter of cleanliness, like the Russian sister, if you don't need a kli for that. Like I said before, just squeeze some liquid soap onto your hands and then wash it off. Why do you need a kli? Says the Rashba, this is a whole different story. This is not a tinuf. This is not a matter of rechitza and nikayon, of cleanliness. This is a matter of kiddush. And for kiddush, we need a kli. Because the original kiddush, the paradigm of kiddush, was the Kohen who's mekadesh himself for the avodah by dipping his hands into the kiyar. And that's a kli. Now, it's very interesting because we are like Kohanim. Every morning we wake up and we dedicate ourselves to avodah, just like the Kohen. Again, we don't go into the Mikdash because we're not Kohanim. But wherever we turn, we're doing avodas Hashem. So just like the Kohen does avodah in the Mikdash, we do avodah everywhere outside the Mikdash. And just like the Kohen, before he prepares himself for the avodah in the Mikdash, he has to do a Kiddush Yadayim. So do we need a Kiddush Yadayim before our avodah? We are avodah of Hashem. We are servants of God. And this was a separate takana. This Maisa Kiddush has nothing to do with other rechitzos. You know, there are many occasions where we have to wash our hands, either because of tinuf, we're about to eat a suda, and we need the Tilus Yadayim. Here the bracha is on this new takana. On a morning basis of Chadoshim Lubikarim, we become a Birya Chadosha, and we need Kiddush, because we're about to dedicate ourselves to the Avodah. Before we do the Avodah, we need to sanctify ourselves. And on that day, establish the bracha. So whereas the rush is a little bit difficult, why, if you're cleaning your hands because of Makom Tinuf, why make a bracha on that? And because if that be the case, the whole day, every time I get my hands dirty, I should wash my hands and make a bracha on the Tilus Yadayim. Plus, that is the first one in the morning. According to the Rashba, this is the Tilus Yadayim, is a whole new entity. It has nothing to do with Tinuf, has nothing to do with the Suda. You might be fasting. Yeah, I'm just thinking out loud, what would the Rosh say if a person is not going to recite Kriyat Shema for whatever reason? Let's see, he's parted from Kriyat Shema. Many people are parted from Kriyat Shema. Parted from Tefillah. So why does he have to wash his hands? Let him keep his hands dirty. Who cares? Well, according to the Rosh, but he has to wash his hands because he has to do this Kiddush. It's a separate takana. So the Mishnah Berurah claims in the name of the Chayyadim that La'alochanu tovsim v'shnei ha'tami l'chumra le'inyan netilah. He says, as we go through this Siman and we see all the regulations that apply to this Negel Vas in the morning, we're going to see that we take upon ourselves both Chumras. And then he writes, V'im lo birech al netilas yadayim kodem ha'tfila, shuv lo yivarech achra ha'tfila, l'kulei alma. Now, I'm not sure what he means by l'kulei alma. According to the Rosh, if the whole purpose of cleanliness here is to prepare you for tefillah, I understand that after tefillah is farfallen, it's too late. But according to the Rashba, I'm not sure exactly where he has the balance of the day to serve as an Eved Hashem. He still is a Kohen, even after his davening. But he seems to assume that even according to the Rashba, once he davened already, it's too late for Kiddush. I don't know, what would the Rashba say if, let's say, the Kohen did the Avodah without Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim? Now he's doing a second Avodah. So he hasn't yet done Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. And even if he does these two avodas, one immediately following the other, he would certainly need a Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim for the second avoda if he didn't have one for the first avoda. So every person, when he dedicates himself with a new day to serve Hashem, it's not just for the purpose of the first tefillah. His whole day is one long continuum of avoda. So I don't know why he says that he would make a bracha on that on that netilah. V'yavarech, says the Mishnah Berurah, miyad achar netilah yavarech. You might say before he pours the water, he should make the bracha. No, we make the bracha on what's called negiva. Negiva means on drying your hands. So when is the last time before the Negiva? Was the closest moment to the Negiva, because that's called Over Lasiosa, that's right after the Netila. V'ein tzarch lahamtin al ha-niguv. You might say, well, you know what, let's wait a while until he dries his hands. Right now he's not drying his hands yet, his hands are still wet. Let's postpone the bracha. No, the bracha is going to be on the Netila itself. But why don't we make the bracha before the Netila? Because we want the bracha to be related not only to the Netila, but also to the Negiva. So it's not that the bracha is on the Negiva. In fact, the Mishnah Berurah continues, quoting the Magen Avraham, and he says, V'gam ha-niguv eino ma'akev. He can air dry his hands, that would be fine, without niguv. But nevertheless, since in a normal case he does niguv, they establish that the bracha should be between the Netila and the niguv. So in that sense, the bracha covers the Netila that preceded it, and the niguv that succeeded it.
Is the Netila mean washing or raising?
That's an interesting question. Here I think Netila means pouring. But you're right, the word Netila usually means raising. Now there is a meaning to raise your hands after you pour the water over your head, like Suya Dechem Kodesh. But I think here Netila means pouring. When right after he pours the water over his hands, even if he doesn't lift his hands, he would have to make the bracha, and that bracha now, in a sense, bridges the Netila that came before the Niguv and the Niguv that came after the bracha. So it's interesting. Let's say you would pour water on my hands, I can still make the bracha because I still anticipate the Niguv. So it could be that in that case, I don't know if my bracha would be chal retroactively on the Netila because I didn't do the Netila, you did the Netila for me, but it could be chal on the Niguv. But on the other hand, he says, Aniguv ain't ma'akev. So I don't know, would you make a bracha on something that's not ma'akev?
And this procedure is no different than doing the Netila time of washing before having a motzi.
That's an interesting question. According to the Rosh, it's only a matter of nikayon, because of tinuv. I'm not sure that you have to wash this, you have to wash your hands more than once. But again, all those details I think we're going to have to flesh out as we see them in this long simon. Yesh machmir shalol levarech ad achar shinagev yadov. So there is a shita that the bracha should come after the niguv. The sviralahu, according to this particular shita, the ein ruach ra'a sar me'adayim ad li'achar niguv. In other words, the water itself, so to speak, absorbs the ruach ra'a. Now it's interesting, as far as I know, this is the first time the Mishnah Berurah mentioned Ruach Ra. In the Rosh's frame of reference, he was talking about Tinuf. In the Rashba's frame of reference, he was talking about Kiddush, his Kadshus. So I'm not sure where Ruach Ra slipped in here under the radar. All of a sudden we're talking about Ruach Ra. I don't know. Maybe this Yesh Machmirim is introducing a whole third reason for this Netila. And that's because over the course of the night when he sleeps, and sleep is 1/60th of death, then there's a ruach ra that somehow hovers over his hands, and when he washes his hands, the water itself sort of absorbs the ruach ra, so the ruach ra is now in the mayim. So we have to wait until he dries his hands, and then he can make the bracha. Now, when does he finally rid himself of this ruach ra? It's only after niguv. Usvir lahu di asal varfi yadayim shu ruach ra sharalim. Once his hands, as long as his hands are saturated or are encompassed by this ruach ra, he cannot make the bracha. He's not allowed to make a bracha. And the only time he can get rid himself of this ruach ra is after niguv. Therefore, ein levarich until ad liachar shinagiv yodav. But the poskim rejected this opinion, and therefore you'll make the bracha before the niguv, and even if there won't be any niguv. So we're not worried about the ruach ra. The ruach ra was removed by the mayim, even without niguv. Kasev b'seder ayom shlo yiga b'malbushav ad sheyito. I guess if his hands are saturated or encompassed in this ruach ra, he doesn't want to take that ruach ra and connect it to his clothing. Therefore, let him do the netil sidai before he gets dressed. But Gemara lo mashma, the Magen Avraham says that that's not the simple pshat in the Gemara. So in this Mishnah Berurah, we're getting a lot of opinions here that are not la'alocha. They're sort of theoretical. Number one, the opinion that you have to wait till after Niguv to make the bracha. Number two, the halacha that you can't touch your clothing until after you wash it, until Sidayim. And now he says, Isa b'bracha staf nun aleph al titol chalukcha shakris miyad hashamash v'tilbash. Interesting. He says that when you wake up in the morning, you should not take the clothing from the hands of the servant. Mishum sakonas mazikin. I mean, this sort of adds a little extra teeth to what he said before, that he shouldn't be touching his malbushim because he has ruach ra on his hands. He should wait till after Netil Sidayim. So if the ruach ra will impact on his malbushim, so for example, if the shamash, now again, I don't know who the shamash is, if he's Jewish or not Jewish, but let's say he's not Jewish, and let's say he comes in contact with your malbushim, then there's a ruach ra that goes into your malbushim, and that's a kind of sakonas mazikin. Other than that, I mean, if you want to, alternatively, I would say, the idea of taking the chaluk from the shamash itself somehow generates mazikin. It's almost like
mazikin are similar to ruach ra. What's mazikin?
Very similar, some sort of a power of evil that's not, that's not visible to the naked eye. Some sort of a demon or a shade. We have shadim, we have mazikin. Again, the experts will tell you the difference between shadim and mazikin and ruach ra. So this shita, which the Mishnah Berurah seems to accept, would advocate that you take your malbushim on your own. He says, "Afilu also hashamish kvar not al yodav." In other words, you might say, "Okay, I'm not going to take the malbushim from the hands of the shamash because his hands are dirty. His hands are soiled with a ruach ra." But let's say the shamash himself was a firm yid, so he washed his hands. He did negel maser. Says nevertheless, you should not receive your clothing from his hands. That itself is some sort of a skula for mazik. Maybe it means that you're praving, you're exhibiting a behavior that's not appropriate for you. It's a king, let's say, will not pick up his own clothing off the shelf. He'll wait for his servant to dress him up. And you might be stimulating the mazikim, arousing them, because you're exhibiting a behavior that's not for your level. You're not a king. So be humble. And take the malbush. Even though, again, you might be a rich guy, and the servant is certainly waiting there. Just like they wait with a towel to give you a towel, they wait with the clothing. Maybe you should prava nivus, and instead of being such a big shot, you should do it on your own. And a lot of this has to do with the previous simon, which, to a large extent, Simon Gimel is dedicated to the laws of malbushim and how to get dressed, and the bitznius about when you get dressed. But amongst those laws, you'll find an emphasis on skulos and avoiding mazikin. For example, back even in Siman Beis, yidaktik b'chaluka lovsho kidarko. You can't wear your clothes inside out. I mean, there are different laws that apply to malbushim that have to do with mystical concepts.
Underwear is considered malbushim.
I mean, back in Siman Beis, he's talking about a chaluk, but I don't see why. I don't know. I'm not a baki mazikin, so I don't know the answer to your question. But I think it should apply to underwear as well. I'm reading the Gemara. Rochets adam panav yodav araglo bechol yom. Although we're talking about negel vasa, washing your hands, one should really wash not only his hands but his legs and his face on a daily basis. And you might ask why. As far as my cleanliness is concerned, I don't feel I have to do this on a daily basis. you know, you might want to wash your hands to wake yourself up in the morning. You know what I mean? A little cold water can't hurt. But now he's talking almost about a shower, Kimon. You know, he's washing his feet as well. He says this is an aspect of kvod kono. You know, man is created in the image of God, and he has to respect and treat his body in a certain way with dignity, because that is the dignity of God, because the face of man shines with the Tzelem Elokim. So that becomes kvod kono. Alternatively, the very fact that you're going to stand in front of your Maker in prayer, and you can have a direct meeting with God, you know, then if you were meeting the king, you would make sure that you're super duper clean. And that's a covenant for the Malchus. He says, there's this whole idea of washing your feet is for cleanliness purposes. And we don't walk around barefoot, so our feet are for the most part clean. I mean, one could argue that that's not exactly so, because we wear socks, and people sweat in socks. Is that not true? So people's feet are quite dirty, even today that we wear shoes, especially if you wear tight-fitting shoes. So some people like narrow shoes, right? Can you get that online, narrow shoes?
Anything online.
So if you want to get narrow shoes, you know, sometimes people sweat when they wear narrow shoes. Some people like to wear white socks because it's less filth on the feet. Even though you sweat also, but you know, you sweat with black socks, you get black pieces of wool, you know, caught in between your toes. So I'm not sure exactly if I'm willing to sign on that in our societies that we wear shoes and we don't walk around barefoot, that our feet are so clean. I don't know. But then maybe in those days, when they walked around barefoot, they would have to wash their feet constantly, you know, at least once a day, to guarantee they're clean. Today, all right, if you wash your feet twice a week, maybe that's enough. I don't know. You know, some people wear shorts. I would say that if you wear shorts, there's a greater chance that you'll get your feet dirty. You know, if you walk by something and something, you know, splashes or whatever. Now we're up to the Ramah, who adds the following comment. He says, Yesh omrim gam asher yotzar vafilo osat srocha. This is a major controversy. Do you recite asher yotzar if you haven't yet gone to the washroom? And the Ramah is quoting one opinion, which he says in the name of Abu Jaham, that it's an automatic, unconditional washing of your hands and reciting Asher Yotzar as well. So there are certain brachas that we recite every morning, like let's say Elokein Itzar, which is Amaksin Nisham Skar Mason. That's a standard part of the service, of the blessings that you recite in the morning. Here too, Asher Yotzar, according to this Abu Draham, is a standard part of the Nusach HaTfilah. Has nothing to do with whether you went to the bathroom. So basically, you have to start, as the Zerashba says, a whole new fresh day, and you have to recognize it with gratitude that God gave you a physical body, which allows you to get rid of your impurities and keep your life going. So you want to thank Hashem for giving you these abilities, whether you've used them right now or not. So that's a separate Asher Yotzar. I don't think we paskin like this. If I'm not mistaken, we wait to go to the bathroom before we say Asher Yotzar. But we'll see if the Mishnah Berurah fears us. Let's see. Hatam. So right, there's two lines up from the bottom. He says, Mishum deva boker nasi kibir yechadosh. He's back to the Rajba again. We have to thank Hashem for this birya. So again, we're going to thank Hashem for our eyes, for our legs, for our power of hearing and so forth. But let's thank Hashem for the urinary tract, or for the, you know, for the possibility of you know, the kidneys, you know, functioning well and cleaning out the impurities from the system. And of course, the whole large intestine and all that's involved below the large intestine. You have to clean out the body. You have to thank Hashem for the functioning body. But that hodah is an automatic hodah that's unconditional, whether you have to, you went to the bathroom or not. You know, today there's a whole field called urology. You know, usually when a person has to see a urologist, it's not a pleasant thing. It's, you know, you don't go to a urologist just on the, you know, because you decide to go to a urologist. The stones and also the different impediments in the system. So we really have to thank Hashem if the system is functioning properly. Then he says, "V'niskan birchas alukai neshama ala neshama." You know, God replaced, he returned the neshama to us. We have to thank him for that. Vasha yotzar al yitziras haguf. So these two brachas really go hand in hand. In fact, some will recite Asher Yotzar. I don't have a sitter in front. Oh, I do have a sitter here. Immediately after Elokai Nitzor. Let's see if I'm right. How is it printed here in the sitter? You have here. Ah! So what you have here is Negel Vasa. So you start with Al Netil Sidayim. Oh, then you have Asher Yotzar. And then Elokai Nishama. So you start with a goof. And then you go to the neshama. If I'm not mistaken, the Levush, one of the commentaries in Shulchan Aruch, or maybe I saw it elsewhere, they claim that when it says Mafli Lasos at the end of the bracha, it's a reference to the fact that the neshama is connected to the guf. That connection between the neshama and the guf is Mafli Lasos. It's something that defies human comprehension. The French philosopher Descartes, who lived about 5 centuries ago, he spent a lot of time trying to figure out where is the neshama inside the guf. Again, he had different words for it, but because how do you connect something that's infinite and spiritual with something that's physical and limited, finite? It's not a simple matter in the annals of philosophy. So that's called Mafli Lasos. You know, the wonder of God's creation is that we have the Neshama inside the Guf. And that's the segue to the next bracha, which is Elokai Neshama Neshama Satavi. Meaning, first we're going to thank Hashem for having given us a functioning body. And not only that there's a Pella here, that our body has a Guf, has not only a Guf, it's a body with a Neshama in it. So that connection of body and Guf. And then we're going to thank Hashem for giving us back the Neshama after we went to sleep. And we woke up and God gave us back the neshama. Now on the next page, which is page 16, the Mishnah Berurah quotes a Prima Gadin. The Lufi Atam de Biri Chadoshim Hayane Or Kol Alayla to Oslo Nasa Biri Chadoshim Boka Ein Yochel of Arach Asher Yotzar Im Lo Oset Shrochav. So in other words, in the case of Al Netil Sidayim, even if we don't have the Rosh, I'm sorry, even if we don't have the Rashba, meaning the Birya Chadosha Svara, because he stayed up all night, but we still have the Rosh Svara, that for cleanliness purposes, he should be washing his hands. If on the other hand, we're talking about Asher Yotzar, and he hasn't gone to the washroom, then the only justification for that bracha would be Birya Chadosha. In other words, there's no parallel concept of nikius, of tinuf, that requires a bracha. So therefore, he's not going to be able to recite Asher Yotzar. This is a very lumpish Prima Gadol, basically saying that with regard to Asher Yotzar, if he doesn't use the bathroom and he stayed up all night, then Mimonav Shach, there's no justification Asher Yotzar. He can't be thanking Hashem for gratitude of urinating because he didn't urinate. And he can't thank Hashem for Birya Chadosh because he stayed up all night. Yesh Omrim Dim Hishtin Balayla Yuchal Lismog Le'inyan Birchas Asher Yotzar Al Asher Yotzar Deshachris. Now I'm not sure what he means here, but I think he's suggesting that you would not make an Asher Yotzar in the middle of the night. You would wait until the next morning. Now, for someone who has to go to the bathroom quite a few times, I mean, it's not normal, but there are people who suffer from that problem. And this is a boon, this is a gift, because it means, you know, don't bother every 5 minutes making Asher Yotzar, just wait until you wake up for the morning. B'tzarach in l'dina, he's not sure whether we can accept such a shita. He says, "Gam pa'amim rabas yikres." It's very common that it happens. Sheba boker mishtokek oda pamla tolus meiraglayim lo yuchal lochul od habirchas hashiyotzu ba boker alzu ha'atola delayla. In other words, your first urination in the morning, maybe that hashiyotzu could cover the night. But let's say you anticipate that you'll have to urinate again. So that second Asher Yotzar on the second urination will cover the one before it, but it's not going to go back as far as Laila. V'yirishman yachmar latzav yitol yodo v'yilbash mitnasayim o yachgar v'shar dov l'hafzik bein libo li'erv v'yivarach Asher Yotzar. In other words, here's the problem. You know, to make a bracha, you want to be dressed properly. You're reciting a bracha in front of Hashem. But on the other hand, you just woke up. And you you washed it in Negel Vasa, you recited Asher Yotzar. You're not necessarily dressed. So he says, a Yerushamayim will postpone the Asher Yotzar until after he puts on his slacks and he separates the top half of the body from his second half of the body. Then he can make the bracha Asher Yotzar. Again, this has nothing to do with the issue of whether he urinated or didn't urinate. It's just, even if I say that you can make the bracha Asher Yotzar without even though you didn't urinate, but what is the state of your clothing? How dressed or undressed are you for the Asher Yotzar? The Yerushalayim wants to make sure that he has at least the minimum, you know, he's passed the minimum bar of the dress code before he makes the Asher Yotzar. Now, I'm not sure what it means, Yilbash Matnasayim O Yachgar. So I think he's assuming, if I'm not mistaken, that the mechnasayim, if he puts them on, will be an automatic hefsek, because now he's got a shirt or a pajama, whatever he's wearing on top of his body. He's got pants on the bottom half of his body, so there's already a natural separation between the two halves of his body, between libo and erev. He says another option would be he doesn't have to even put on his slacks. All he has to do is put on a belt. The belt itself will accomplish that goal. Ach Yirei says, "Bi'eis habrocha laharchik me'ha'ovit shel me'araglayim arba amos imu omed bechedra." I think what he's saying is the following: that, you know, they didn't have necessarily toilets the way we have them, which automatically flush. You know, you just press the leverage and it. The lever, and it pushes down the meiraglayim. They're gone, so the meiraglayim would sit for a while and accumulate in a certain kli. He should make sure before he makes the bracha that there's a distance. He distances himself from the meiraglayim at least a minimum of arba amos. Otherwise, he can't make the bracha. But then he adds a condition. He says, "V'im lo hoya ha'ovit miyuchad l'zeh." Not sure what he means by that. What would that happen? How would that help us if it was miyuchad? So it's just a beisabach laharchik me'ovit shel meiraglayim arba amos imu omed bechedro im lo hoya ha'ovit miyuchad. I think he's assuming that there are two places, two possibilities in terms of where you urinate. There's an ovid miyucha which is outside of his room. You know, he doesn't want to smell up his room, so he places it outside his room. But if he doesn't have an ovid miyucha, then it might be in his room, and therefore he has to make sure that he doesn't recite the bracha within a radius of 4 amos next to this ovid that's now full of urine. But he says that there's another option. And apparently this option will cover him even for the case of an Ovid She'ena Miyuchad, which is in his room, and that is Daiba Tolos Revius Mayim Latoch Hamera Glayim Bechol Panufam Shemashtim. I'm not sure if this is a law of Bittul. What do I mean by Bittul? Normally, if you have a mixture of two liquids, let's say Yayin Vimayin, then you need a certain ratio between the Mayim and the Yayin in order to set up Bittul. And certainly, you would, at the very least, you would need Rov Mayim. Now, here he's just pouring a Revius. Let's say Revius is one cup of water into his Meir Aglayim. I don't know if that's operating me Din Bittul. I have a feeling that we're talking about the stench or the repulsive nature of standing next to Meir Aglayim. You know, it has a strong odor, etc., etc. So by pouring water into it, it dilutes it and it loses its potency. But I don't think he's dealing with Bittul in the classic sense, because then it would depend how much of an accumulation of urine he had, and then we decide how much Mayim he'd have to put in. Here he's giving you an absolute standard of Revius. Okay, let's go back to the Ramon, the top of the page. It says, Afilu lo osa trofav. He says that's not the opinion of everybody. And therefore, says the Mishmur Dalit, HaRotzel Estalik Min HaSofa, Yizor Lasa Sofa Tekev Achar, She'era Mayim Al Yodav Sholosh Pa'om. So this is really interesting. I would have thought intuitively that the first thing he does when he wakes up in the morning is he urinates. And then he does Netil Sidayim. He's saying that let him begin with Negel Vasa, and then he should urinate. Perhaps he's talking about a person who doesn't have a pressing need to urinate. He's only urinating in order to get the bracha. So there's no problem with postponing the urination. The only thing is, then according to this, he would have to wash himself twice. Once before he urinates, and a second time after he urinates. And then the yivarech asher yotza between the netila and the nigud. The yotzi dechova lekuli alma. And this would satisfy all the opinions. Meaning, even if you require to urinate in order to make the bracha, here he urinated and then made the bracha. Right? Why? Because he did his negel vasa, then he urinated, then he washed the second time around, he made the bracha on asher yotza. So yotza means a chobel akuli alma, meaning whether or not you require urination for the bracha, or if you, let's say you do require urination for the bracha, that's exactly what he did. But if it tov yoseh shelo yivarech afilu birchas netil sidai, this is what we were saying. If he's going to urinate, why is he reciting the bracha netil sidai before he urinates? So I say because he doesn't have a pressing need to urinate. But he's saying that it's better to postpone the bracha of the Netil Sidayim until he gets to the second Netila, which is after Yitziyasa Mibes HaKisei, which means after he already urinated. So again, if he's going to postpone the bracha until after he urinates, so why did he wash his hands three times before urination? And he's not even making the bracha at that point. Apparently there's a pressing need to wash your hands. You know, let's go back to this concept of Ruach Tumah. He wants to get rid of the Ruach Tumah, and he can only do so by washing his hands three times. He might not be able to make the bracha. Because of the issue of, you know, Beis HaKisei. He does mention this far. He has a pressing need to urinate before the Netila Rishona. No question about it. He's got to urinate before he makes the bracha. So again, there's an urgent need to wash his hands when he wakes up. So that he's going to do. But the bracha he's going to have to delay. Why? Because he needs to go to the bathroom and urinate. Now he's going to urinate after he washed his hands. He's going to have to wash his hands a second time. Now he's going to make a double bracha. He's going to make a bracha on the Tilus Yadayim on the Negel Vasa, which again he would have done before the urination, except for the fact that you can't make a bracha when you have to urinate. And he's going to make another bracha of Asher Yotzar on the urination. The Chai Adam Kosev the Nochel Lahamtim Yilvarech Al Netilas Yadayim Adli Acher Shemenake Atzmo Vegotzel Lispale. Whoa. This is a chiddush. Are you familiar with this? That you don't recite Al Netilas Yadayim until you're ready to daven? Hakach Matzosi Maisa Rav Shkere Yinoga Groza. You know, the Chayonim is very much influenced by the Gro. So the three possibilities as to when you're going to make the bracha of Al Netilas Yadayim. One is immediately when you wake up, even before you urinate. The second one is to wait till after you urinate. So you're going to wash your hands, urinate, make a second Netilas Yadayim, and only then you're going to make the bracha Al Netilas Yadayim together with Asher Yotzar. And the third possibility is that you're going to postpone the Al Netilas Yadayim until you're ready to daven, which very much sounds like reflecting the sheet of the Rosh, that the issue of the Netilas Yadayim, that enactment was for the purpose of tefillah. So why not wait until you daven? I don't know anyone who does that.
And I wait until I get dressed, and I say the brothers at home. So.
Right, but you're not going to wait until you get to shul to make Al Netilas Yadayim. I know that's what it sounds like. The Chai Adam is advocating in the Gaon's Minhag that when you get to shul, then you're going to make Al Netilas Yadayim on the Negel Vasa that you washed when you woke up. If I'm reading this correctly. So, you know, I understand to postpone the Al Netilas Yadayim until you're dressed, until you're clean, and so on and so on. But he's saying, actually, it's pal, until you're ready to daven. I mean, it could be, I'm not going to daven for the next 15 minutes. I don't know. Well, what would he say if he's going to learn Torah before davening? Maybe at that point already he could recite Al Netilas Yadayim, because you want to have clean hands for learning Torah. That I don't know. Let's see. He says to look at the Bir Halacha. I'm afraid that this Bir Halacha is going to take us about a year. But maybe we can at least pull out a little bit of this Bir Halacha. He says, "Afilu asat zrochav, aymish nebru b'sofa, v'zeh loshen achayi odom, nochen lahamtin levorach al tisnam ad liyak, shemenak asma v'rotza l'spala." So the Rosh is going to require another Al Netilas Yadayim to guarantee Nikius. And therefore, if he hasn't urinated yet, he still needs the Al Netilas Yadayim in order to establish his nikius. The aftalo kaimelon hoch, imakobukom nochon li zorbaze. So we should try to satisfy the shitas harosh. And therefore, instead of making the bracha before urination, he should make the bracha after urination. All right, so I don't know, he has a long discussion here about the girsa in the Magen Avraham. V'chein kosev agon Rav Chaim Tzanzer. Wow, I'm impressed. Baga Osof. So I'm not sure exactly where you'll find this Rav Chaim Tzanzer. That's the Divrei Chaim. It sounds like it's published as an addendum on the side of, I don't know what, on the side of the Chai Odom, on the side of Shulchan Aruch, I'm not sure. Umashu bin Chai Odom, the Bishu comes man harbe kodem atfilo. He's got a long time before he davens. And according to Chayyadim, the bracha on the Tisidav is going to be postponed until Tefillah. Is Afilim Hetil Meraglaim the Zekvar Nikra Peshe Masias Tzracha Mikomakom came in the Mistomach Shagia Baboker Zman Tefillah Yelech Bebeis HaKise Lenakos Atzmo Yamtin Ata Mibirchas Al Natilas Yodayim Ara Boker. So what happens? He urinated and he's going to go shem stomach shagia baboker shagia boker. Maybe urinated during the night shagia baboker is my tefillah yelich bebeis akis lenakos atzmo yamten ato v'birchas al tisudayim ara boker. Oh, ara boker. So he's not reciting al tisudayim during the night kishiyanaka atzmo korma tefillah. That's what I do. I didn't know it was a big chiddush. Right? Would you wash negel vasa if you went to the bathroom in the middle of the night and you're going back to sleep again?
No,
we wouldn't. So that's my meaning. And I think he's codifying that here because of the rush that the al natil sidayim is basically for nikius, and he's not yet ready for his nikius. He's still in a sleep mode, if you know what I mean. The chorekosh al atzmo al atzoso. This suggestion: Eich yetsi ato v'birchoso al libud arashba. Hello, mashenato yodav tekef kshakam yotzi idei chovus natila. The eich yomer ato al natila shniyav etzivano al natila siyadayim v'lomu the brachos who koil natila rishono lo yesh hefse gadol. So there's a discrepancy. There's an interval of time between when he woke up and he washed his hands, and when he's ready to go to daven, because he got up very early. And l'chor, according to the Rashba, once he washed his hands the first time when he woke up, he's already fulfilled his chiyuv of what we call chadoshim labakara, meaning virya chadosh. So how can he possibly recite al natil siyadayim on a second natil? What does the second natil accomplish if he's already washed negelvas as a virya chadosh? And at this point, to say that the bracha goes back to the first natila when he waited a long time, that's a hefse gadol. So what do you do in this case? So I would say the following: if he's really ready to get up, then it's time for negel vasa. Let him make a bracha on the natilas yadayim. What's going to happen later on when he cleans himself, he urinates and so forth and so on, he'll make another al natil siyadayim. Maybe that's so, but that's for different reasons. Maybe he would only make it asher yotzar at that point, if you go like the Rashba. If you go like the Rush, who requires al natil siyadayim because of nikius, I don't know. I'm not sure if he would need to be mevarech al natil siyadayim. Okay, that's what we can get out of this Bir Halacha. I think we'll stop here. And let's just point out that the Bir Halacha quotes a Beis Yosef, who says, a chiddush here, that L'tama Rash Mishum Bir Chadosha, Nuchali Achra. You know, we thought that there's an urgent need immediately when he wakes up to wash his hands as a Bir Chadosha, thank Hashem, and Kiddush, and so forth. But he says, no. He could be Masader Im Shara Brachos. Even though he's not going to recite all the other brachos for a while, he could postpone that brach of Al Natil Siyadayim till later on. Ach Im Kein Yet Sarach Levarach Achar Zeh Tekef Gam Shara Birchas HaShachar. So he should recite the Al Natil Siyadayim and immediately after that Birchas HaShachar, so that it becomes like one unit. But Mestimas Loshen HaShari Tshuva Mashmedein Sover We should not postpone it until the tefillah. So it sounds like there are, you know, there are really two different opinions here about this. And mistimas, it seems from the language of the poskim, you know, get the impression that that you should recite the Al Netilas Yadayim earlier, you know, after you wash your hands, not postpone the bracha till tefillah. But then we have the Ma'aser Rav and the Gaon. V'lo yomar also take it from Yad Kshekom Kshein Daitel Ispala. So again, the basic machlokas is whether the bracha Al Netilas Yadayim is established on the washing of the hands or on the preparation for tefillah. If it's connected to tefillah, we want to postpone this bracha until Shas HaTefillah, when he's ready to daven. And if he woke up early, he's not ready to daven. Now, the Mechaber on the top of page 16 says, Mayim hapsum letilas yadayim le'seuda k'sherim letilas yadayim le'tefillah. That there are two standards for Mayim as far as Netilas Yadayim. There's Mayim for Netilas Yadayim for Suda, and there's Mayim for Netilas Yadayim for Tefillah. And again, this word Tefillah sounds again like the rush that the Netilas Yadayim that we're talking about here, the Mechaber has codified at the beginning of Siman Dalet, is for Tefillah purposes. Now let's just see if the Mishnah Berurah makes any comment here. He says that Lakaman Simon Kuf Samach, okay. Dainumaim Shinishtanum Ar Eam Oshanasim Melocha Meluchim Osruchim Shane Kelvyokalishtos Mem is Mishum Hochi Uyum with Tefillah the Kanlot Sokrak Mishum Nikias Bialmo. This is really the rush that the Negelas is for the purpose of the Kius. And he says that for Su'uda, we have a higher level of higher standards as far as Mayim is concerned. And the Nikias B'Alma requirement, that would lower the standards, and that's for Netilas Yadayim L'Tefillah. Mi'u, the Mechaber adds, Yesh Misha Omer Shalom L'Mvarech Alayhu. He should not recite Al Netilas Yadayim because the Al Netilas Yadayim was established for the Su'udah as it was for the Nikiyus of waking up in the morning. So since for Su'udah this Mayim is possible, namely because there's a Shini Mara, etc., there was Malacha Dom with the Mayim, that has nothing to do with Nikiyus, but nevertheless we should not utilize the same Nusach HaBroch of Al Netilas Yadayim. We should change the Nusach to reflect the fact that this Mayim would not satisfy the requirements of Mayim for classic Netilas Yadayim, which means for Suda, and therefore the bracha should be Al Nikius Yadayim. It's just that we're cleaning our hands. Once again, you wonder why you need a kli. That we never really came to grips with that question. The rush requires a kli because of the kiyar and the Beis HaMikdash. I'm sorry, the Rash, I meant to say. But the Rush, on the other hand, he's operating with Nikius. Why? We asked, why not just put liquid soap on your hands? Why do you need a kli? And if the bracha is al Nikius Yadayim, then for sure you shouldn't need a kli. It's only an issue of Nikius. And the Yesh Misha Omer here, the Lo Yivarech Alayu. In other words, you shouldn't recite Al Netilas Yadayim, but rather Al Nikius Yadayim Alayv Hachronim Echriyu Diyuchal Levarach Al Netilas Yadayim. So we're not worried about this Yesh Misha Omer, which is a sheet in the Rosh. In the Ra'o, I'm sorry. Now, on page 17 or the equivalent thereof in Sif Beis, the Mechaber writes, "Yidagdei klaros aleihem mayim shalosh piyomim la'avir ruach ra sheshor aleihem." We finally see the ruach ra concept quoted explicitly in the Mechaber, and we want to get rid of the ruach ra through this Netilas Yadayim by washing three times. And the Mishnah Berurah says, "Yidagdei ki michutz me'atam v'nizkarim." Forget about the Nikius time of the Rosh or the Birya Chadosh time of the Rashba. We have a new reason here, and it slipped in, you know, under the radar. We have to pay attention to it. That you need Netilas Yadayim in order to get rid of a ruach ra'ah. So that from the Mishnah Berurah's perspective, if the reason for Netilas Yadayim is Nikius, or for that matter Birya Chadosha, it doesn't require three times in each hand. We have another explanation here for the Netilas Yadayim to get rid of the Ruach Ra, that requires three times. But yet, that understanding alone would not justify a brach of Al Netilas Yadayim. They wouldn't have been Mesakin Chazal, a brach on Netilas Yadayim, simply to get rid of Ruach Ra. Once they have the takana, either because of the Rosh's reason of Nikias for Tefillah, or the Rashba's reason of Birya Chadosha and Kiddush, now we're going to require three times on each hand in order to cover and destroy, so to speak, the Ruach Ra. So that reason of Ruach Ra itself would not have stood on its own feet to justify a bracha of Al Netilas Yadayim, but once we've justified the bracha, Marakid Islay, now we're going to require the Netilah three times on each hand in order to get rid of Ruach Ra. How much should he wash? So if you take a look at Mishnah Berurah Tess, he says, V'yitleim l'chatchila ad perek hazroa. Now I think the perek hazroa is what we call the wrist. The im'ein lo mayim, he doesn't have enough water, dai ad kishrei etzbosov. Which would mean, I guess, what you'd call the knuckles. Bitzorech lifshot hakapos gemisherotzel kabel dovar. So he says he shouldn't close his fist and tighten it, but rather he should open his hand flat out. Then he says, yagbiyam keneged a rush, right? He should lift up his hands. That's probably the remnants from Suyadechem Kodesh. Gam tov ladiach piv. He should also rinse his mouth out. But betaina sivru lo yadiach. He should not rinse his mouth on a fast. Sholosh pomim. Afilu shofek harbe bepam echad. Ein moy. Now it's not a matter of the volume of the water. Even if you had a very large glass that held the water that would normally be held by three different glasses, that's not enough. This discussion in the Mishnah Berurah about Sholosh Pa'am, I think we'll finish up tomorrow, Bli Neder. And that's the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Yud.